Welcome to Agents of Smooch. You are joining us in the midst of our annual Christmas movie marathon. We've got snacks. We've got fun cocktails. We've got piles of blankets and pillows with Christmas sweaters and hats. And of course, we've got a mission to watch as many Christmas movies as we can. I am director Annette Weirstra, and for today's mission, I'm joined by our host today, Agent Kirsten Gorick. Hello, Kirsten.
Hello. Welcome to Kirstenland.
I know. We like coming to Kirstenland.
It's pretty great. I have two Christmas trees.
Yes, and good snacks.
Yes, obviously.
Yes.
It's been really fun. I'm excited to chat about all of the ridiculousness and also some surprising, like, winning movies that we watched.
I know. And we also have with us Agent Erica Ensign. Hello, Erica.
Hello. I am wearing a Santa hat and plaid red and black pajama bottoms. So I am in for a movie marathon. This has been great.
This is excellent. I am wearing my Bebe It's Cold Outside, which it has Moira shit on it from Schitt's Creek. And Kirsten is wearing the exact same one because she bought it for me last year.
I also have like sequin reindeer antlers on my head that I keep forgetting about as the night goes on and the more I drink. So
I do that. Not have a Christmas sweater or an ugly sweater. But our final panelist does.
He does. We have the inestimable Agent Steven Schapansky. We can call you an agent now if you come on the podcast for the first time.
Welcome.
That's right. I'm like an angel who's come down from a mysterious place.
You've graced us with your presence.
Yeah. I tell you this much. I can skate.
Tell us about your ugly sweater, though.
So the ugliest sweater I'm wearing today is the circa 1982 Vancouver Canucks, what they're called the Flying V jerseys, because there's a big giant V on a yellow jersey, black V with an orange stripe.
It's ugly.
Some may call it ugly.
It's a choice that you made.
It's a choice.
I don't find it ugly, actually.
Thank you.
I find it retro.
It's very it's vintage, I think. Well, it's new, but it's old. Mm-hmm. Is that vintage or retro?
I think that's retro. Yeah.
If you like scuff it up a bit, if you maybe skated around in it a little.
Yeah.
If it was really from then it would be vintage. This is just retro.
This is better quality than what they had in 1982 when they wore it. So it's definitely retro.
Excellent. So we have watched three movies today and played our bingo cards. Mm-hmm. And we did not make a plan going into this about what our, like, should we go worst to best?
Or chronological order?
Should we go in the order in which we watched it?
You better go chronological because I'll forget the details otherwise.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the first
I wasn't even supposed to be here today, so...
And we wouldn't be here without you.
Mm-hmm. He was just going to set up the mites and opt out, but we...
We lured him with snacks.
Exactly. And bingo cards, because he does love the bingo cards more than anybody else, I think.
I think that is true.
Yeah, and also the spirit of Christmas.
Aw, it's a Christmas miracle. Check.
So the first movie we watched was on Netflix, and it was called A Christmas Wish. No, Christmas with You.
Christmas with You.
Sort of have the same title. Sorry, everyone.
Not once was there anything to do with A Christmas Wish
today. No wishes
today,
at all.
And yet you went there.
Yes, Christmas with You, starring Amy Garcia and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh my God, this was teenage Kirsten freaked.
I love Amy Garcia from Lucifer, and I love Freddie Prinze Jr. from She's All That. And having the two of them together, I gotta say, I was a little nervous because I was like, what if this sucks and they have no chemistry? And I'm sad to see both of them, you know, failing. But it didn't work out that way. It's a Christmas miracle.
Our Christmas miracle. Mm-hmm. How about you, Kirsten?
I love any Christmas movie that also manages to be musical and dancey. So this hit a really nice sweet spot for me. Like Erica said, the chemistry was amazing.
So good.
It just felt really natural. And Freddie Prinze Jr. is so earnest and just like this sweet, lovely man who I still adore.
And he still looks like a real person.
Great. He's aging very well. Yep. He looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But also like a real person.
Yes. Yeah. Right? He's got wrinkles, but like smile lines.
And they're
stuff.
Not trying to hide them.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he seems very comfortable in his skin.
Yes.
Which I can appreciate.
Yep.
And yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of this one. I feel like we kind of made a mistake because we started so strong.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, ooh, like we're supposed to be watching crap right now. What have we done?
We ruined everything.
Yeah, we've set the bar too high.
Yep.
Steven, you have a slightly different perspective. What did you think about this one?
It wasn't very good at all because it didn't adhere itself to the wonderful Smooch bingo cards that you created.
I got bingo.
Yeah, I know you caught, but I did not.
I got bingo.
See, I feel I like didn't. there were too many. There weren't enough tropes in
it's
this
true.
To make it worthwhile for me.
That's fair.
There were no wooden toys.
There were no wooden toys. There was no ludicrous fake snow. It was clearly not shot in Vancouver.
There was not even a small town.
There wasn't a small town. Mm-mm. You know, so I missed those tropes.
There were a lot of limos.
Yeah, because of its quality,
it's too good.
It was a lack of quality. You know,
It had good story.
Yeah, there was music in there. There was a budget. The camera moved at one point, and that never happens in the movies that I watch usually. So
we didn't see a single boom mic drop into the shot.
There wasn't. There was nobody kicking up some sort of fake foam that was pretending to be snow.
One car had some like fake snow.
That's right.
On
there
it.
Was definitely some fake snow, but it looked pretty good.
Yeah,
we're not used to that in our household.
It is kind of. I miss the shtick of them trying to make Christmas in Vancouver in July
when it's raining and they're trying to hide the fact
they're
that
trying
it's raining.
To hide, exactly, you could see like it behind. There's the leaves on all the
bright
trees,
green leaves,
and everything.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, oh, they're trying their best, and that's the real Christmas spirit. Now they're just it used to be about the Christmas, Annette.
I know.
And now they're trying to make an actual movie out of these, and I just don't know.
Raising the bar too
high.
Yes, there was that weird scene though where it was clearly green screened. The Christmas, like when they were walking through those Christmas trees, they were all lit up.
Yes, yeah.
And it was like I didn't understand what, like, did they something fall through? Like, why did they do that? Because it was really quite horrible.
we had one bed scene.
It was real bad.
Maybe they lost the budget for their Christmas movie.
They spent it all on that fur coat of hers.
That's a little hat tip for a future movie that we'll be discussing on this very podcast.
But. Yes. I think that, we should probably say this was about a pop star.
Yes.
Who, it's basically music and lyrics. So you have a pop star who needs to write a Christmas song in a week.
To make herself Christmas relevant song. Again.
Yes, because you making a Christmas song is what is going to save your career.
Obviously.
But then she meets a Freddie Prinze Jr. and his daughter and gets swept up in this family, and they write a song together, and it's all very cute and sweet. And
they did get trapped together because of a snowstorm.
Yeah,
so there was one trope that was on my bingo card.
Hilarious grandmother character who liked to drink tequila.
Oh, the abuela's tequila.
And the Tias.
The Tias were great.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a really nice sense of family, I feel like. And there was a dead parent, so
that's
true. Check. Another bingo card. It was also nice to see more diversity, because this is a family that is very Latino, and then I think the girl's dead mom was probably black, and
like the photo was very very fuzzy and hard
to
tell.
It was. Yeah.
There was at least three dead parents in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
as with all Christmas movies. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also enjoyed the food aspect of it too.
Oh my god, that pozole looked so good. Yeah. And then they were making tamales, and I love tamales so much.
Which
very happy.
We realized I've never had a tamale.
I know.
I've never had a tamale.
I'm gonna hook you guys up.
I only see them in movies.
When we take our eventual road trip through Wisconsin, we will hook you up with some good authentic tamales.
Can you also hook me up with Freddie Prinze Jr.?
I don't think so. Probably not in Wisconsin anyway.
A girl can dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can.
I know Freddie Prinze Jr. from voicing a character on Star Wars Rebels.
Wow.
That's it. That's where I know him
that's
from.
That's all?
Yeah.
You
don't know him from
enough.
Scooby-Doo?
No. Oh. No, was he in Scooby-Doo?
That's how he...
Is he
I'm
Freddy?
Pretty sure that's how
he
and
Freddy.
Sarah Michelle Gellar met was on that show or
oh,
movie.
That's adorable. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I never saw those movies. See, this is
I
how
think
limited
I saw
my
them
interaction
many,
is.
Many years
But
ago.
You have seen She's All That because I've made you watch it
that's
at
true.
Least once.
Yes.
But you were probably staring at Rachel Lee Cook
well,
the whole time.
Well, she's just delightful, Rachel Lee Cook. She's not
she is.
Was she in a Christmas movie recently?
We watched one last year that she was
yes,
in.
Yes, that's right. With, what's his name? It escapes me.
I can't remember.
I just remember her car was terrible in that movie. Like
it
something
was.
Didn't work in it. Like
there was a tape
stuck
that
yeah,
was stuck
yeah,
and
yeah.
it kept playing some song from like the 1990s.
And it was like a Volkswagen beetle or something.
It was, but yeah.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
That was
all right.
That was pretty cute. Yeah. So there you go. We got some Rachel Lee Cook in there for you, Stephen.
She's got to make worse movies if she's going to make the marathon list. Mm-hmm. Let's be
That's
real.
True.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We don't want the quality too good. But yeah, who was it that said this movie was like 75% sparkles? One of you guys said that, and that maybe
I think it might have been Annette.
That was a very good line because there was a lot of sparkly outfits
so sparkly.
In this movie.
Yeah, just bejeweled, as Taylor Swift would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she's a pop star; she has to be sparkly.
Yeah.
So is she an actual singer and dancer? Because I know did she dance in the all musical.
I mean,
intro of that Lucifer episode once.
Everybody in that Lucifer episode.
Even the ones who couldn't.
Could, yeah.
But clearly. So,
or shouldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was better than most.
Yeah, she knew what she was doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to point out, by the way, sidebar, that that I know we've joked about my love of Jesus Christ Superstar.
We do.
We would never joke about that.
Only Jesus Christ Superstar and only the 1973 film version directed by Norman Jewison. But the intro to that one episode of Lucifer where they do a song, a dance number to... whatever it is, a Kenny Loggins song.
I'm all right.
It's so good. I
Stephen,
love
who
that.
Hates musicals, but loves that scene from Lucifer.
It comes out of left field,
mm-hmm.
and then they instantly just start the scene right after that. I thought that's perfect. I
Make
love
him
it.
Watch
he
Spirited.
Has made me. He has made me watch that. Multiple times.
Oh, I just watched that with you.
Well, here's a great thing. And then after that, the musical's over. And that's why it works as a joke, because you just do it the one time. And she's in that. She's in it briefly.
She is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She gets, like, lifted, I think, at some point.
Or something like that. And that's why I put two and two together.
Yep.
When I thought maybe she was a dancer and a singer, because she did that in Lucifer.
She must have some experience, because she's pretty good at dancing.
She was quite,
and she sang the songs. Like, in the credits, it says, you know, by Amy Garcia. Yeah.
Did she really?
Yes.
I tell you who didn't play the songs. The band on the stage.
That was delightful. He was so mad.
So,
Freddie Pinch Jr. appeared to be trying to play the piano, but everyone else was a mockery.
Yeah, there was like, so there's a drummer on a drum set.
Yes.
There is a guitarist and a bass guitarist, neither of which are plugged in. No amps anywhere.
It's unplugged.
And oddly enough, there are no guitars, bass, or those types of drums
in the
song. But the drummer is just like gently tapping his drums, trying to like just play along.
He didn't want to take away from the moment.
I feel like they shot that scene before the music was perhaps.
Maybe.
We haven't finalized this. Just do your best. And so he just sort of drumming along. Oh, just the cymbals a little bit.
He's a little
there.
Drummer boy.
Yep. Don't make too much noise because it'll
draw
come
attention
through.
To yourself.
Yep.
Yeah,
so,
that was funny.
So that part
that was pretty great.
That fell down for me. I was up. I was believing what would happen in the movie up until that point.
Did worry enough.
Yeah,
then we lost Steven completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got a negative for me. It's probably a good movie, as you say. But
yes.
But we'll Steven will like never acknowledge
our rating reasons. And then Steven's rating. They're different.
I acknowledge that I am coming at this from a vastly different perspective.
But that's why
that's
we brought
why we
you
love
here.
It.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that you like to participate.
Yes.
Any other thoughts about that movie? I just think if you are looking for a Christmassy movie with some tropes that's not like the really, really thin plot Hallmarky sort of thing, like this is, and with real chemistry between the leads.
Yeah.
Like I really this is an actual like high recommendation, I think, in terms of entertainment value. It was delightful.
Yeah, I'd watch it again.
Yeah,
and I don't say that about most of the movies we watch in these marathons.
Yep. Yeah.
Our members were putting in the member chat today because we were talking about chemistry from the last episode with Lindsay Lohan and Cord Overstreet and saying
that was a swing and a miss.
Yeah, they didn't have chemistry. Uh-oh. And they're like, what is chemistry? I'm like, I don't know how you define it, because sometimes it feels like they're trying really hard and sometimes it seems like they're not. At all, and it just falls flat.
It's ineffable because when you pointed that out and I was reading like the members' comments, I was thinking, well, you know, it's a personal thing too, because sometimes I will feel like two characters have chemistry and other people will disagree or vice versa. But the first sort of definition I was coming up with in my head was that like all you really need is two actors who are really good and have a lot of charm and personality, and you just put them together and it can look like chemistry. And then we watched one of the other movies we'll talk about later and I realized, no, each of those leads has their good and they have charm and charisma. But I still didn't think they had any chemistry, even though I thought they were good. So I feel like, no, there is an ineffable something that's a connection that just comes through on screen that works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
I think one of the things both Freddie Prinze Jr. and Amy Garcia had is that sense of genuineness.
Yes.
Yeah. So like they could both like smile. Like they, there was this, like right out the bat, he kind of smiles at her when they first meet. And I'm like, oh, there's something there immediately. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of nice. And I'm like, I don't know exactly how it happens, but.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it is credit to people who cast movies, right?
Because yes.
They know what to look for. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it comes down to, am I swept up and caught up in the moment? Am I forgetting that I'm watching two actors?
Yeah.
And I am like rooting for those characters because I feel it in my bones. And I think it's really easy to fall out of that with a lot of like bad mm-hmm. acting, bad scripts, whatever the case may be, bad casting. But I feel like it's really like the snap of a finger. I can fall out of that and be like, ooh, this is not hitting the right tones for me. But when it does, it's so good.
Yeah. I think there's a better chance of having decent chemistry on a movie with a bigger budget because you have more time for casting mm-hmm. and you can maybe afford to hire actors with, you know, who have maybe some more credits to their to their name that aren't just mm-hmm. just Christmas movies over and over again, and maybe more time for, I don't know, potentially rehearsal to actually develop some of that chemistry. I think that on a lot of those Christmas movies where they're shooting for like 14 days or something like that, you don't have time to really make that work.
Yeah
That's really fair.
Yeah.
Steven, you keep looking back and forth between us. I wonder if you have thoughts about chemistry.
There's an actor whose name is Cord Overstreet.
Yes, it is.
Spit punch all over my couch.
That's like a sign you find at a construction zone.
I also get this. He was in Glee.
Really?
The TV show.
Like steel plate on roadway. Uh-huh. Cord Overstreet. And he's chosen that name.
It's not his real name.
Is
it?
Well,
he chose it.
I think he. I hope it is his real name.
It's Cord, C H O R D.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Steven's face right now. He's covering his face with his hands.
That's why Glee is so funny, because he's Cord.
It's Cord, because he sings, obviously. Mm-hmm.
He also played the guitar in and he sang too.
Did
yeah, he did.
Yep, he did.
And was it Falling for Christmas?
Yep.
Did he fall over?
No, no, Falling. Yeah, no, Falling for Christmas. Down. There's so many fall. Falling for Christmas.
That's the most recent. Yes. Is that the original, the 2016 version,
no,
or the Lindsay
the
Lohan?
The one that we just
Lindsay
Lohan,
yeah.
Lohan version. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, chemistry. Is that what we were talking about? Chemistry? Yes. I was more focused on
the name Cord Overstreet. I wonder. I knew there was something going on behind those eyes.
It's very strange. But mm-hmm. no, chemistry is good. And oftentimes, I mean, it's one of the squares on the bingo card.
Uh-huh.
Leaves mm-hmm. with no chemistry. And it happens more often than not. I'm fascinated. It was that article recently. Was it in Vulture, I think? Had a big rundown. And I heard there's an interview with like the VP of programming for Lifetime.
Yeah,
who was on a podcast a couple weeks ago, and like very right at the very end, so he goes, "Oh, and they still just make these movies like 1 to 2 weeks." He goes, "Yep, they do," and I was like, instantly, like my interest level in these movies
went up,
perked up, because I love, you know, I'm a fan of classic Doctor Who in the earliest days, which was made like one episode a week. They shot it in like 90 minutes basically for a 25 minute episode, so like anytime that there's like restrictions involved, I'm like, this is great.
Christmas movies,
I know.
Yep.
And I kind of love it now, so I need to see the really bad ones so that I can see why things didn't quite work out. So that has actually, you know, made me more interested in Christmas movies.
That is fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So our next movie, though, we decided this movie was too good. Let's pick the one we know is going to be
real bad,
the worst.
Right.
Kirsten, please tell us.
Yes,
please tell us. Yeah. Why did you pick this for us?
I apologize, and also you're welcome.
No. Thank you.
So on TikTok a couple days ago, maybe even last week, I just noticed my feed was suddenly filled with this hilarious clip of Chad Michael Murray pretending to skate in a Christmas movie. And it was so ridiculous that I just cackled every time I saw it, and I had no idea what movie it was from. I didn't know if it was new or old, but I knew we had to watch it. If only so that you all could experience that scene with me. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what it was about. I didn't like nothing, but I am thrilled that we chose it, because it was exactly the opposite of what we had just watched.
Mm-hmm. What was this one called? I've forgotten the name already.
Angel Falls Christmas.
Right, yes. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. It wasn't set in a town called Angel Falls, though, right?
Nope.
No.
No, I don't think we ever got a name.
I don't think we learned the name of the town.
No, it was called Angel Falls because he, contrary to what we thought at
Should
the beginning
we just
of the movie.
Shout...
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Yeah,
it's like not really a spoiler, because it took us about 30 seconds to be like figure this
Something
out.
Is terribly
I mean, either
wrong
he
here.
was an automaton or an android, or he was an angel. like one of those were the
yes.
two. Those
or the he was a really bad actor.
But he's Chad Michael Murray from One Street Hill.
One Tree Hill.
Oh, good try. I don't know because I didn't watch it.
One Tree Hill. It was One Street. I've still got Cord over Street on my head.
Basketball drama right. that I loved growing up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So also part of me was like, oh, Chad Michael Murray, his hair is exactly the same.
Right.
He is still a very wooden actor.
Yes.
And this was a good part for him though, because as an angel, he was supposed to not really know yeah. how yes. to human quite right.
You cast your strength. And that's yes. what they did.
And they did that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I very purposely, after Kirsten told us about the skating thing, figured out what movie it was, did not watch the video
so that we could all experience
it together.
Yeah. So we could experience it in the moment. And thankfully, it comes up very quickly.
So early. And then we rewound it.
Yeah.
Several
times. We did.
We watched it multiful times. Yes.
And I cried with laughter because it's so not what I expected. I
couldn't stop.
It's so bad.
I'm almost dying. I think it's one of the worst things I've ever seen in like all of the.
Yeah.
Like,
if you watch
the raw
one
dough,
movie.
Like all of it. I've seen a lot of crap in Christmas movies. That's on the top of the list now.
Oh yeah, it is. It's
like, real bad.
So bad. And you're like, how, you know, oh, it'll be he's bad as no, you will not expect what happens. Don't Google it. Don't watch it. Just go in cold. And then yeah, Kirsten's sister came later and we made her watch it again. And then we all watched her watch it because
yep.
her face was
so great.
So
it
fantastic.
Was, and the worst part about it was completely unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They could have started this scene with these people standing close enough to the edge of the skating rink yeah. that they didn't need to pretend that they were on skates.
They made a choice.
Yeah. They did.
The extras in the background,
a great one.
The extras in the background are skating
yeah,
around. Uh-huh. They are on skates. So there's no reason. It's just
Here's what they could have done. They mm-hmm. had extras behind there on skates. What they could have done is they cut away. Okay, we're going ice skating. They cut to a shot, maybe a wide shot of the skating or something like just general skating. Mm-hmm. Then we cut to a close up of an extra in like the same outfit. We see the skates pull up to stop.
Yep.
Then we cut to our three leads mm-hmm. there having stopped. Because I think if you mm-hmm. shot it and then, oh, we're going to go skating, and then they're just standing there.
That's true.
We wouldn't
true.
Have yeah. believed that they ever would have been skating. Or perhaps you shoot it in a tighter shot with mm-hmm. a zoom lens perhaps and just sort of see them come into focus and then they stop. And then we don't have to worry. But they shot the cameras like right there. So they're like full body shot. You could like just cutting up mm-hmm. above their ankles. And so they had to sort of pretend. And maybe they didn't
wow.
know that the camera was going to be at that angle
yeah.
when they
yeah.
did that.
I'm so glad they did.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
You never would have watched this movie
watched
otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I don't blame the actors. I feel like
no.
that was production.
That was something.
Like,
I don't understand why. Even
editing.
If Chad Michael Murray can't skate, and I don't know if he can or not, like they could have coached him enough to get him to do those two steps on ice.
Uh huh. Without
like,
the hip, the, without
right?
the hip wiggle.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the thing that he did, like thinking that the camera was going to be shot from like waist up, but it gets like from knee up.
Like turtleneck down.
The whole thing. And she doesn't skate off it because she skates off mm-hmm. after. And quite mm-hmm. clearly, she's just sort of like.
It's also real bad, but yeah. they don't. Yeah. yeah.
But they cut,
they
away
cut it
pretty,
pretty
quick.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's
kinder to
mm-hmm. there is other stuff in this movie, but honestly, that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah,
and yeah, there was these angels who are trying to manipulate things.
There's magic, guys. There's literal like
sparkles
floating around and Christmas wishes.
Yeah,
and...
it took me way too long to clue into that. By the way,
you
yeah.
just didn't want to believe.
You
weren't ready.
That's true. I wasn't. Yeah.
You needed the Christmas spirit to really like.
Yeah,
you needed
really
to have a change of
there.
Heart.
Yeah,
is what you needed.
Whereas, well,
I think some people got it in the first scene.
Well,
immediately when that woman looks up at the camera,
see that would do it. But when I saw that the lead couple break up, like I've seen enough of these movies to
mm-hmm.
know that I know an amicable breakup mm-hmm. in a Christmas movie when I see one.
Yes,
yep.
And that was that. And that's I feel true. Like he was going to go off, and now we've established the new character of the
yes.
show. That was a twist.
It was
it
a twist.
Was.
Actually,
I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah I'll
it
give
did,
him credit for it.
Yeah, it yeah. did not follow the typical path that you expect.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But also, I felt like his stiff angel acting was a little
so
too
weird.
Weird.
He did feel
serial
like...
killer-ish.
Yes.
Yeah, there was that one look he gave near the end. Where I was like, oh, this is where
yeah.
it takes another turn.
Yeah.
Murder
it,
her.
It kind of reminded me of there's a Star Trek The Next Generation episode where like Data comes down to Earth, up to this planet, and his memory's been wiped, and he has no idea who he is, and he has to sort of try to like ingratiate himself with the population and try to learn all their customs and stuff. And for a second, I thought maybe he's an android trying to learn the customs.
I would have believed that.
Yeah. I would have believed that, too.
While tying back to that Next Generation episode, unintentionally giving everyone radiation poison. I wasn't sure if that was going to come into play or not. But it didn't. Was that the magic that we
if
saw?
If they had, they'd been hooped because that hospital was a joke.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Talk about the hospital.
Oh, my gosh. There's the doctor best friend who never works. Every time you show up to talk to her, she's like, oh, yeah, give me 15 minutes. I just need to eat my lunch.
Yep.
Like, never once saw her care for a child or person. When they did their little cookie cutting, decorating thing with all the kids, none of them looked sickly. They were all wearing street clothes.
I just thought that was a hospital.
That was at the hospital. Yeah. She was on the doctor was on a break. Again.
As per usual.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's wearing scrubs in the coffee shop at one point. And you're like, shouldn't you be at the hospital?
You should not wear your scrubs outside. Like, that's not, I don't work in frontline healthcare, but I know enough to know that's real bad.
They had budget for one costume.
Yeah, and then
pretty much. And they were nice looking scrubs.
Yeah.
They were too nice, actually.
Yeah. They were a little too nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there was. I like her boyfriend. Like, the boyfriend Josh that she amicably broke up with at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh was actually, like, quite well rounded for a character and, like, had his own little arc, which I appreciated. Like, while she was figuring her shit out with Android Angel, he was actually working on himself and, like, figuring out what he wants separate from her, which I thought was actually, like, decent scripting.
Yep. And he was from Suits. And so far,
Benjamin!
So far, every single cheesy Christmas movie that has a Suits ex-actor in it, like, that character has always been good. Because A Story About Christmas, which I'm mentioning it again, A Plan for Christmas, also has a guy from Suits as the main character.
I would like to see a Gabriel Mocked Christmas movie, please. I'm just going to put that on the universe. That's my Christmas wish.
Well, and he was the best actor in that movie.
He was.
Yeah.
He had the smallest actual, like, role, I think, and yet he was the best part of it.
Yeah.
Josh.
Yeah, easily.
The boyfriend.
Steven, your bingo card evaluation of this movie?
This was the best movie of the three.
Yes.
Because of its naturalistic depiction of weird angels coming down to earth.
Named Maureen.
Yeah. There was no questionable depiction of live music in this one. So that was an added bonus. There was
there was the karaoke scene where Chad Michael Murray was or wasn't playing the guitar.
Thank you very much.
Right.
I don't remember if
was
you...
terrible.
Okay, there you go.
That was. You're there welcome. Were actually, now that you mentioned that, there were bad musical representations in all three movies. Horrible. So there's a karaoke. There's a live band karaoke. Karaoke. And there's a guy standing up at a keyboard waiting to play, and there's a guy on an acoustic guitar, again not plugged in, and then there's a guy on a drum set, an electronic drum set that had four pads and no bass drum and one cymbal.
They couldn't fit it,
so it was like Garage Band.
It was kind of like rock band, but not quite. And this was the karaoke band, so naturally the movie took it.
And the person who was singing karaoke as they walked in, it was
bad.
I think the worst music I've ever heard in a Christmas movie.
No
ever.
One would ever sing whatever song that was at a karaoke bar.
I think he might have written it himself.
That could be.
I did not recognize it, and I wish he would stop.
I hope it was meant to be bad.
I hope so.
I mean, most karaoke is.
Exactly. Usually, especially when it's depicted on screen, it's depicted to be bad.
I mean, I got bingo in this one too, so I felt like it was
you picked well. Person won today in terms of bingo.
Yeah. Although my sister came over, then she beat me, which was rude because I brought her over, invited her, and fed her.
Before you on movie
the
one.
First one you did, yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
I didn't get a single bingo. I had usually about
seven, had a rough go,
like five to seven to nine. I think
it's all about the, like, it's all just random. We choose, we have what, eight cards now?
Eight cards.
So we have eight cards, and each time we watch a movie, we switch them up again. So it's like, you don't, it's not like you use the same card every time. So you're like, a part of it
we
is
we should try that,
chance.
Use the same card every time.
That would be fun. I also
that would be interesting,
like,
yeah.
If you had the attention span to sit down with one movie, all eight cards in front of you and see what you can
just like grandma troll doll style.
Yes.
Because so many times in the second movie I go, oh, did I go, oh, that was the last movie that I started to think too.
No, I'm like, crap.
We could have each taken two. That's
we
true.
Could've.
That's true. That would have taken effort though.
We should probably talk about the punch that we drank and that I would not have been able to handle two bingo cards because of that punch.
Some Holly Jingle Jolly, I don't even know what the hell it was called.
I called it in honor of Kathy, just Christmas face punch.
Face punch.
It was
It had an entire bottle of vodka. And by that, I mean 750 milliliters of whipped cream vodka, an entire bottle of sparkling rosé wine, and some cans of cranberry ginger ale.
And it was delicious.
It was very good.
It was delicious. It really got the job done.
It's gone.
And Kirsten...
Has a little bit
Kirsten
left.
Has very large glasses, I'm just saying.
They're very large and pretty.
Over many hours, but it's still gone.
Yeah, I am proud of us. I wasn't sure when I mixed that up if we were going to be able to handle that.
Well, apparently we can.
If people want the recipe, we can post it in the show notes.
I think you just gave it. Didn't you? One bottle of this,
one bottle of that. That's true. Although, like, I had to, they asked for cherry 7-Up, which you can't really get in Canada. So I just bought cans of cranberry ginger ale.
Yeah, how many cans of cranberry ginger ale?
We end up putting six.
There you go. Six cans of cranberry ginger ale, bottle of sparkling wine, bottle of.
And it's a delightful pink color, which is very festive and fun. And I think the recipe asked for, like, fancy ice cubes with things frozen in them. And I was like, it's not happening.
I think if I made it again for my family, say, I might half the vodka.
That's not a bad idea.
And if
idea.
I made it for my family, I would not. We're a vodka family. Although my father would probably be like, is whipped cream vodka? What did you, why? Why did you do that?
You don't need to
you
tell
want
him.
It straight.
Yeah. Any final thoughts about our Angel Falls Christmas?
I appreciated that the plot felt like it was doing the same old trope, but then kind of swerved a little bit. The android angel twist was kind of nice. I liked that.
Yeah, like it was bad.
It was terrible.
It was real bad. But now that we've had a chance to like talk about it, I feel like there were things that I did like about it, and there were things that I wanted to be bad, and they were. So like that worked.
It was also bad in the right way, where it was bad enough that it was like fun to watch with a bunch of people with your bingo cards. It's like kind of good bingo card fodder.
But agreed. Again, no chemistry between
chemistry. No.
But this is what you get when you make a movie in 1 to 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, that makes sense, right?
You got to fake it until you make it, or you fake it while you make it.
And our final movie was the ever meta,
so meta,
A Hollywood Christmas, which was a Christmas movie about making a Christmas movie in L.A., which I'm like,
in July.
In July. But they, and I think they actually did make it in L.A. in July.
Yes.
But no Christmas movies are made in L.A. They're all made in Canada.
Unless Warner Brothers and HBO. And
It was Warner Brothers.
And Nashville. Nashville apparently has become a bit of a
behind this.
It has become a for bit Christmas of a hub movies. For Christmas movies. Yeah,
interesting.
Well, Stephen, you alluded to the article in Vulture, which was somebody on set at a movie that was being directed by, why am I blanking on it? Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Help me out here.
Melissa Joan Hart.
Yes. Oh, so she's now directing Christmas movies in addition to acting in them. And yeah, so she was directing a film, and they were talking about how there are a bunch of people in the Nashville area who just are extras on these Christmas movies that they're starting to do there.
Snow in Nashville?
No. If they do, the entire city shuts down.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, it doesn't seem like a snow place.
No, but what they do is that they cast personable country music artists as leads in these movies. Because,
like Dolly
Parton. They know how to play guitar.
They know how to play guitar. Mm-hmm. They know how to be good, you know, good down-home Christian folk that are at the center of some of these movies. So, go where the talent is. Yep. And that's how you lure in these.
Yeah, go where the talent is or go where the snow is.
It's not like there's snow in Vancouver when they're
it's
doing
true. Some of them
either.
They are filmed in the middle of summer. Yeah.
But here, they just like sidestepped all of that. Well, for the most part, the snow, we'll get to that. But just deciding to make it a movie about making a movie in L.A. You might as well set it in L.A. And Stephen pointed out how they got their money out of their drone footage.
So much
they
drone. Did. So many drone shots. But you're right. They could film it on the Warner Brothers lot.
Yeah, like they didn't have to hide.
It was literally a Warner Brothers
lot. Location bits, which is kind of neat.
They shot it on the same back lot that they shot like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, that was Stars Hollow. That was straight up Stars Hollow gazebo.
Gazebo, another square on the bingo card.
Yeah, we haven't done a while.
Yeah, and we decided you could use bingo card entry items in the movie inside the movie and then in the discussion about the movie it was like very
it was confusing at some point.
I didn't do great in that one, but some people did very well because there were it was hitting tropes left, right, and center all over the place.
Yeah, like the movie within a movie has somebody running a cupcake shop, so like the square that's lead character that's a florist or a baker. Well, she's the lead character in the movie so it counts.
Yeah,
just like he was the real estate developer in the movie.
In the movie. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Here to shut it down.
Yep. But there was no baking scene, even though it was about a cupcake shop, and that did let me down.
It wasn't even like a decorate. Like, we never saw her actually work with any of it.
Nope.
Which is a little disappointing. She was too busy talking to her dog.
Yeah. It was a cute dog.
He was cute. His little outfit's just adorable. Mm-hmm.
Dog was dressed like an elf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's played by Lucy Puggles.
For those in the animal the dog acting actor, world.
If you're going to follow more of a Lucy Puggles.
Yeah, I bet Lucy Zoe had an Instagram.
Zoe was the dog character.
Yeah.
Yes. Lucy Puggles.
Lucy Puggles was
is a better name, honestly. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Probably not a real name. It's probably her stage name.
I'm so sad to say I bet you're right. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, maybe my expectations were too high because I enjoy things that are meta and I like the idea of an industry sort of not taking itself seriously, but I felt like it took itself too seriously and it didn't work. It really just didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And the leads, mm-hmm. again, the actual leads had no chemistry. The woman who is the director of the movie and the guy who comes in to shut it down because he's the
bad at numbers
money guy.
Yeah. Like, I just didn't think that they had great chemistry, even though like they were both fine on their own, but they didn't work great together. But the two leads within the movie actually had pretty decent chemistry with each other. And of course they got together too.
I enjoyed those two. Yeah. I feel like it also felt rushed. Like they spent, you know, they went on their little dinner date together and then he kind of like disappeared there and
she completely fell for him in like one dinner that felt very unrealistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like, hi, I'm here to, you know, close your whole division down. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go for a meal? And then they go for a meal. And it just felt like that was like, what?
Yeah. And they got all laughy and cutesy by the fire. And then it was like, they really didn't have a lot of time together after that.
Yeah. No. And then he also was like, oh, you're right. Christmas movies are awesome really quickly.
Yeah. And then he was like suggesting script changes and shit. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
And he like, he, the whole time he felt like, you know, not genuine. Mm-hmm. And so the whole movie, I was thinking like, there's going to be a twist here. Is he going to be a Christmas robot too?
We can like only hope.
And it never was. Like, I was expecting him. Like, he turned so quickly and was sort of behaving so mysteriously and everything and driving Santa around a lot and in the golf cart. And it just felt like something's up. No, it wasn't.
Nothing was up.
Nothing was up.
Well, it bothered me that, like, the big bad was, like, he's bad at math. Mm-hmm. Like, he's incompetent at his job and therefore he screwed her over and the whole cat. Like, that to me was like, oh. It was weird. So they're like, other until you meet, what was her name? Something Frost. Teresa?
Teresa Frost.
She kind of ended up being sort of the villain in a way, but even that was like very short lived. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like there was nothing, there was no one to like hate really, I guess. I wanted to hate him more and I didn't get a chance to because I found him just kind of like, eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he never actually really got his moment of discovering the Christmas spirit or turning around. It was just like one scene he's kind of, like, and he was never really not into it. He seemed so enthusiastic and excited about literally everything he was doing all of the time. But he was like, yeah, but we need to close you down because, you know, it's not going to be great for our business to be in competition with the two big networks that do Christmas. So we're going to do that. Yeah. But, you know, but how's your day going? Like he was. And then in the next scene, he had apparently binged all six of her movies somehow overnight, I guess.
Yeah.
Stamp all night.
And then it was like there was no. He didn't have a moment to be like, no, you were right. I discovered it. It didn't feel like it was, I guess maybe I'm used to being hit over the head with that a little bit harder and they didn't.
Angel Falls hit you over the head with everything.
Yeah, that halo left a goose egg on my head.
Yes. I think maybe because you're trying to juggle kind of two plot lines, even though you're not really, they just didn't have enough time to work them out. Or maybe it was not.
And yet there were elements of that movie that really dragged and took forever to sort of get going. And like there's the meeting where they all sort of sit down and discuss their feelings there and the coffee shop.
Yes.
It's just going on a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's Jessica, right? The lead.
Jessica, yes.
Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be this like, I love Christmas so freaking much that I made it my whole career. But she gives up so easily and she's so downtrodden the whole time. And I was just like, your little sprightly assistant is really carrying this right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, we lost our extras. Christmas is ruined.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Literal line.
You have no budget. I'm still buying this $800 coat. I don't care what you say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that she was How are you perfectionist and a pessimist?
Perfectionist. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
You tried. It's good.
I still didn't mind it because I thought it was an amusing take because it was trying to do something different. I don't think it was as, I don't know. I did have high expectations to it.
I think it's one of those ones where it's like some people appreciate it when you take a big swing, even if you fail. I don't. Play it safe. when it's a Christmas movie, I would much rather have you just play it safe, give it to me comforty, and make it middle of the road, even if you have to give me a serial killer android angel.
Yeah, it's disappointing because I kind of like the premise of it because it's got, like, you think about, let's make a movie about making a movie that's a complete trope about Christmas movies and then sort of make it around that. And what kind of upsets me is that I was disappointed in this one is that now it feels like that idea has now...
It's been taken.
It was only done mediocrely.
Yeah. And if you do it again, you're just going to be copying this one, which is financed by Warner Brothers. Yeah. And it's not something you could make cheaply because...
No, because it's expensive enough to make one movie.
As we learned.
Instead of a movie, making a movie, which wouldn't be able to be done.
I would like you to share your thoughts about the production and her talents as a director.
She is a terrible director for reasons that you stated, Kirsten, but like just immediately giving up. Like, oh, something is not perfect. I'm out. I can't do this anymore. They have like a crew of like, it was weird. They had like a lot of the people were about to speak and then didn't. And I'm thinking there were actual crew members playing crew members in this.
You might be right.
Meta.
Which is even more meta when you consider that they didn't have a budget for extras in the movie.
Yes.
And so they got the crew to cobble together their own bit of extra and like make children out of sandbags and stuff like that. And I feel like
that might have been my favorite part.
So meta. Like if I was in the actors union, I would hate to work with that woman because she was like, I will just cast other members of the crew in your parts instead. Oh, there'd be so many strikes on set from that. And she's like shooting, you know, one scene, oh, we're going to shoot outside and stuff. Let's go shoot back at the coffee shop. Let's go shoot outside again. Let's go shoot back at the coffee shop. I feel like she didn't know how to end the movie. She's like worse than Francis Ford Coppola making an Apocalypse Now, just having no clue what to do with it. Now they're starting to improvise like Marlon Brando. And it's just like, it's amazing you made six movies in your life, honey, because this is going to be your last.
Yeah, I mean, one of the jokes is that the guy who went to Princeton, apparently, and
he's a Princeton.
I did appreciate the, you know, the little rib that like ribbing him for the fact that he was basically a mediocre white guy failing up who went to an Ivy League school. And she points out, you know, you are not living in the real world like the rest of us. But then that never goes anywhere else.
Yeah.
And one of the hinges of the movie is it turns on the fact that he's bad with math and like he's like, when he first comes in, he's like, I really just didn't understand your budget. Like, it's like there's so many line items. And when Steven later pointed out the fact that the shooting schedule made no sense because it was like being shot in sequence almost. No wonder the budget was crap because you could have saved so much money and time by shooting all the outdoor scenes at once and all of the cupcake store scenes at once. And then she put in keto cupcakes, and I was like, oh, I had some keto cupcakes a few weeks ago. They weren't very good, so they're not going to save Christmas.
They said, like, let's get the keto cupcakes, and they bring this entirely new props in, which just had keto little flags.
They could have put a flag on the existing cup. Yeah.
No one's going to see that. How much did that cost?
Well, they had a close-up.
They closed up for us.
Was it? Yeah, it was a close-up.
Was the benefit for us watching the
Was it in the movie? In the movie?
We don't know.
I don't know.
What was the name of the movie in the movie? Did they say?
I don't know if we ever learned.
I kind of would like to see the movie in the movie, actually.
Yeah, I actually would too. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, it makes no sense to film the movie chronologically. I just think they probably did it for the benefit of, like, it works narratively for.
Yes.
Right? But it makes no sense if you're, like, supposed to be having, like, this, you know, inside look at the whole
making
process.
Of the movie.
I did appreciate the little side quest jaunt with the two actors who are the leads in the movie and their sort of romance, how it develops and how it really revolves around their social media, which seems to be a thing this year that I'm noticing is that social media is playing a huge role in a lot of these movies.
Subplot. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes, thank you. I like side quests. It's so much more fun.
You've done a lot of TPK recently, honestly.
Yes.
Well, and they were great together. So it was actually like, I looked forward to their little bits.
Yep.
Yeah. And their chemistry really fostered over time as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it definitely got better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I mean, I feel like they were sort of doing the chemistry on easy mode because mm-hmm. they were playing super flighty actors who were supposed to be even faker than the rest of the movie is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they were never acting to be believable as regular characters in the same way that the director and the money guy
were. That's true. I remember as soon as it started, I think like 5 minutes in, Erica, you were like, well, this movie's not being kind to actors.
No. Wow. No. What is it?
Interesting. Yeah, it starts off in being mm-hmm. not kind to actors and ends with all the actors being removed from the movie and crew standing in for the town instead.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special, but there is a brief mention a couple of times in there about actors not being good people. And it's just like, what is it? Like, this Christmas is not kind to actors.
Is a looming actor strike or something in Hollywood?
I don't know. We don't know about
all the writers and directors.
All the writers are like sort of throwing their little lines in there to
get their jabs in.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
This also had a musical scene, Stephen.
Yep, it was terrible. Because what's his name? The the AD
Daniel.
Daniel,
not to be confused with Danny Zuko, which was
with your pet
Christopher at one point when he came in as Danny Zuko
right.
for some reason.
Yeah. Morden from Babylon 5. No, and and he's sitting there just playing guitar out in front of his trailer and stuff. But it helps him relax. And okay, this will come up later. And it did because, don't come here, Santa. I'll play some music for you. I'll play it on guitar. And all of a sudden, the twigs. And Jessica goes, let's get you to play the music for this. And so
for the Christmas celebration for the last scene.
What's more celebratory than a woman singing in a gazebo with some guy playing
giant
guitar?
Furry hat.
And they cut to shots of him playing the guitar. And he's quite clearly just holding the guitar and just sort of
like
rubbing it
gripping
the neck of the guitar.
Yes, like all of
just
the strings.
Happily. Playing with his thumb like he's literally never played a guitar before.
I could
life.
Play guitar better than that.
You could play
you
guitar
could fake
better
it better, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I also enjoyed that he was wearing his like AD ball cap underneath his Santa cap.
That was
he
a nice
was
touch.
Being mm-hmm. filmed.
Yeah, because it said he had a black baseball cap that said create.
Yeah.
And yeah, he kept it on
he didn't
basically
take it off.
The entire
he just
time.
Santa on top of,
on top of it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not even disguising the fact that he's a member of the crew.
Not even, no. Not
stealing
a
job from a union actor mm-hmm. in LA.
Yeah. Wow.
The sequel will be about the riots.
Yep. She'll get shut down. Should have been a post-credit thing. Jessica never made another movie again.
Three more movies.
Three more. Her original contract. Yeah.
Yes, I know because I had the business contract bingo square during that movie. So mm-hmm.
yeah. Nobody got bingo with this one though.
Nope. Nope. It's true.
No.
That was close. No cigar.
I was not again. I had more. I think I had more squares on this one, but that I think was part. Because we had basically two movies in one.
Yes.
Yeah. We could.
That is a challenge because sometimes it's like your bingo card is a scatter shot of hints. Mm-hmm. Then we count totals as
just
well
depends.
As bingo.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts about this one?
I feel like it was worth watching. I'm glad I watched it. Mm-hmm. And I think it was an interesting idea, but I agree with Steven that I'm a little bit sad that it was. That it didn't live up to what it could have been. Like, I feel like this is a great idea and somebody could do it really well if they had, I mean, I assumed seeing Warner Brothers, like the logo right there, I was like, maybe they had a real budget and this is going to be good. And it was not. So I want Netflix to take this on, honestly, because I feel like so far Netflix has done the best job in terms of really understanding what the Christmas movie sort of thing is and not taking itself too seriously and giving it just enough budget that you don't have to worry about some of the easy pitfalls, but not too much budget to make it like, you know, high quality because you don't necessarily want that from a Christmas movie that you're just popping on.
Yeah. And even the ones that don't hit as well still are like enjoyable enough to watch or like still in good bingo card, good fun. But
I mean, like I said, I didn't particularly like Falling for Christmas, but I recognize that it was way higher quality than something like the Angel Falls Christmas.
That one's gonna go down in history in my
life. Yeah, we're never gonna forget that.
I'm gonna remember it. That's the thing. A lot of those, they're kind of so the same you forget.
It's
I will remember
we will, yeah
that one.
Yeah. With this one, I enjoyed sort of the inside baseball bits. Like there is that scene where they finish filming, they all cut, and then they're like, I'm so hot, and they like rip off their coats and they're wearing like fake turtlenecks and like shirt coats with like no sleeves, and like I enjoyed that bit of it. And I really liked Rena, who is the assistant, and her just like obsession with making her boss, but like just calling it what it was. She's like, you are living a Christmas movie right now, I'm gonna like remind you of that every chance I get. I thought she's pretty adorable.
I think it was fun, worth watching, but not, I just, you know, I wanted more from it.
We watched like a wide swan, like what, the first one was Netflix.
We did three different networks.
Second was, what was that
Prime,
second one?
But it was Super Channel on Prime.
It was, so it was Canadian made.
And 100%.
A lot of the Canadian ones are all Canadian except for the one lead actor. Was flown in from the States, having been in things before.
And it was like dipped to black for commercials. It was very
It was made for your sort of Hallmark Channel, Lifetime, Global TV.
It's
here.
The same place where the new Tim Rosen
Christmas that we
movie is
to.
On there, but we haven't watched yet. But
Wolf Creek something?
Yeah, something about Wolf Creek.
And then the third one was Warner Brothers. And HBO, you said?
It was on my crate, but yeah, it was Max. HBO and Warner.
Wow. So,
this just reminds me that Tim Rosen was in a Christmas movie last year with Candace Cameron Bure.
I never watched it, and now I won't.
And now I never will.
Well, yeah, and they had no chemistry, and we know that Tim Rosen can do chemistry in spades with Winona Earp. So him and Melanie Scrofano, like, stop it.
Yeah. I mean, he also had chemistry with a number of other people, including like the vampire demon guy who owned the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy.
He just oozes it.
With Jeremy? Yeah. Like, so.
Like, basically, Winona Earp just bleeds.
Honestly,
chemistry.
I have just always thought that Candace Cameron Bure is where chemistry goes to die.
Oh, yeah. I've seen her in other stuff, and I'm like, she's horrible. So she's a horrible person, and she's a horrible actor. I said it. I don't care.
Well, yes. And now, if you haven't heard, she's starting a more conservative Christmas.
Traditional family stories.
Yeah. So they don't like the direction of Christmas movies becoming more queer, more racially diverse, more interesting, more sex, like more spicy. Because sometimes we'll even see
just
ones that
all
are
around
spicy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she doesn't like it, so... You know, but she can go and take that and go wherever she goes.
Yeah,
I don't care.
And she married the less talented Bure brother. So
she did, and no one knows how to say her last name. If that's what I've learned from this scandal, other than she's horrible.
They call
everyone,
it Bure.
They call her Bure.
No, Bure.
Married Valerie Bure, former NHLer.
I didn't even know the hockey player, and I still couldn't pronounce it.
Valerie Bure.
Correctly.
Yeah. Brother of Pavel. Pavel Bure.
Bure.
He was more famous. So she didn't even get the best brother.
She didn't get the best one.
That's good.
Drat.
She doesn't deserve it.
It's true.
Other Christmas movies that you've watched this year that you want to shout out?
Spirited.
I know, it's so good.
Still haven't watched it. I'm excited though.
It's not a romantic comedy per se, but there is like a romance subplot.
There is.
And it is a delight.
Steven will hate
There's
it.
There's so much tap dancing.
Yeah, I don't think I can watch
Steven
that.
Would not enjoy it at all.
I'll watch it while you're at work or something.
I have already watched it twice.
I didn't, just in case we watched it today, but I'll probably like go home.
I've also been listening
again.
To the soundtrack nonstop all morning while I got ready for this.
Great soundtrack. It's
a
so bop.
Fun.
It's and Spirited is the one with Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, and is a version of A Christmas Carol, and I'm going to say it's my favorite version
it's
of A Christmas
so great.
Carol.
And I feel like they played to like obviously I don't, Will Ferrell's got a decent voice. Ryan Reynolds, I'm sorry, is not the greatest singer, but they play to his strengths, and they do in a way that makes it work.
Nice.
And there's so much tap dancing. My God, the tap dancing.
Wow. Well, it's proper musical, and I'm
beautiful.
Like, I don't even care if they are in it, but give me a traveling musical version with people
it's
who
also
can sing
beautifully
and dance.
Lit like the I don't often notice things like that because that's just not where my brain goes, but there were moments where I was like, wow, some genius like thought this through.
You can tell this movie had money.
Movie
had production.
Apple TV money. Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell money.
I literally signed up for Apple after resisting for like years because I need to watch this movie.
I was messaging you on Slack and you're like, it's fine,
like,
it's happening, I'm doing
it. I'm going to have to sign up for Apple now. It was worth it.
Have we, Stephen, have you and I watched anything that's worth mentioning?
What did we watch? We watched a couple bingo movies that I can't remember what they were. I know you like A Plan for Christmas.
I love it so much. We haven't rewatched it yet, though.
No, while you look that up, the plot for A Plan for Christmas, since I'm rarely on Smooch, I have to bring up Doctor Who.
Yes, you do.
is that the plot is somewhat similar to the return of Doctor Who, Doctor Mysterio, the 2016 Doctor Who Christmas
special.
One of my special,
favorite Christmas specials.
Yep. Which is so great. Good. It's about a nanny who's disguised as a superhero and eventually, you know, and he wants to tell his the woman he works for that he loves her and stuff. And then she's like in love with the superhero and it's
also
very,
aliens and stuff.
It's so great. And I might watch that at some point during the holiday season.
That actually is. Yeah.
And it's a romance.
It's a romance. Yeah. It's Christmassy and it's Doctor Who.
It's
I feel
Peter
like it's
Capaldi
perfect
in it too, which, you know, he's sort of
Steven, so good. Yeah. I will do a whole episode with you. On
let's
that
do
one.
It.
Wow, that would be wonderful. So so I haven't watched it yet, but I'd like to watch it again.
Yeah.
2016.
Return sometimes I go year through and watch all the Christmas specials again, and then sometimes I remember that I should skip some of them.
I did that. I did that a couple years ago when there's 12 of them. I did the 12
those
days
wow
of Christmas.
12 days of Christmas.
12 mm-hmm in a row, yeah. And they'll be returning in 2023.
Christmas yeah, we're getting specials. Christmas specials back. Yeah,
is it a New Year's?
It was New Year's the last two or three
yeah
times.
I yes feel like all of Jody's has been New Year's.
But I think they're going to be back at Christmas that's proper. Cool.
Yeah, I didn't mind New Year's, but I, you know.
You miss the Christmas.
There's something about Christmas.
I mean, yeah, there's like that.
The Christmas
that, yeah
spirit.
I just, I have more of an attachment to that. Mm-hmm. I don't really like New Year's, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We watched Designing Christmas, which I know Annette liked more than I did. I would not watch that again.
I'm not saying it was great. I thought it was fun and a premise. I would say that it is in, like you agreed, it's like in the middle. It gets good enough to be middling, but not
bad
enough
to be
like
fun for
Angel
Bingo
Falls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, they should have lit the TV segment sequences
yes
differently than mm-hmm the rest of the movie because
they
both looked the exact same apart from the little bug in the corner which told you that you were watching the TV version. If
yeah
they
it was
differentiated between the two.
It was a Christmas movie about a home improvement TV show couple who get to get together.
You sense a theme here with me and these Christmas movies
yes
that if
it's
you,
about mm-hmm production.
It's about production. Mm-hmm. You
production
make it look real
matters
and it'll I'll buy it but they don't.
Mm-hmm. The other one that we watched that I actually did enjoy was Sugar Plum Twist. Which was there was a lot of salsa dancing which I really
nice
I really enjoyed yeah and it was
I was expecting a twist the whole time and then only
poor
very
Steven
late in the game the twist was the dancing of the then
like
I thought,
literally twisted
they
were just twisting.
You guys, I felt so bad because when I pointed that out to him about halfway through the movie it was like I broke his little heart.
Aww.
His little face just fell.
I'm really hoping for a twist
like
in the movie,
there's no actual twist. No, it was about a Latina ballerina who had retired and gone back to her small town to working for
mark that off on the bingo card.
Yep, working for the theater. She wanted a promotion also on the bingo card to become the choreographer. And then there's also a younger girl who she and her Puerto Rican parents have a dance studio teaching salsa and stuff, but she wants to be a ballerina.
Aww.
And then there's a very like he was not blandly handsome. I did not take that square on my bingo because there was a guy who was like an English teacher who was helping out with the lighting in the theater and
a little too perfect, kind of like
this
a certain
like
barista
kind of
in Angel Falls. Christmas
yeah.
Sam.
Yes.
But yeah, and so and it was another one that had sort of like the double love story because the young girl also fell in love with one of the worst actors that I've seen in Christmas movies.
She didn't love him for his talent.
He was like a music producer in the movie. And it was like, there's some good dancing. The ballet was fine. I just really, really liked the salsa stuff better. And it was cute. Like it still wasn't like good, but it was tropey enough. And I don't know. I'm a sucker for anything that has salsa dancing in it.
Yes.
I watched one that was called something about gingerbread. There was a gingerbread Christmas, and it was like the same line as the Designing Christmas, and the son had someone from the Food Channel on it. And the main thing I cared about was that the two love interests were entering this gingerbread contest, and I was like, this is not, I've seen like a lot of gingerbread. If you win this contest, I'm actually going to be a little bit upset because you were not doing a great job here. And this is from the Food Channel. And I feel like you should have known
you should
better
know better.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
So I was like, had a lot of feelings about that. And I'm not going to tell you in case I still like
I'm probably going to watch it.
And it's like, I will not tell you who wins. But I did have a lot of feelings about that. And I just need to put that out there.
I often have feelings about baking things. Well, as I'm sure you do, Annette, right? Like, I'll never forget. And I don't know the name of the movie, but there was one where like they put raw cookie dough into the oven, and then when they pulled it out, it was still raw. And then they decorated it, and I was like, what are you doing? You're going to give yourself salmonella. Right. The whole cast is going to be in the hospital. Like, my God.
You actually have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than you do getting salmonella from raw eggs. Raw flour is actually genuinely dangerous.
Bad, I have a lifetime of eating raw cookie dough. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm cavalier about it, but they could have, if they needed to shortcut it, why didn't they just buy
like, and
cookies?
We see that too. And I judge that as well, I judge it less than the rawness.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen so many store-bought cookies that have supposedly just been baked. And I'm just like, oh, bless.
Just pull it out of the oven already iced. Like, ta-da.
Yeah. Woo. I watched something called The Noel Diary and it was fine. It's trying to be really literary, but it's not like a Hallmark Christmas. It's like, it's got romance, but it was very serious and like lots of sad people and more dead parents, where they're actually trying to grapple with grief. And I'm like, whoa.
No, thank you. Not at the holidays, please.
That's too much.
I don't want that.
And I watched another one called My Christmas or Your Christmas or Mine. And it has Asa Butterfield in it from Sex Education. He's the star of that one. And that also not like a Hallmarky kind of movie, but actually quite enjoyable. And it's like him and his new girlfriend get on a train to go home for Christmas. And then they both decide, I'm going to surprise each other, switch trains. But they both switch trains and end up in each other's families. And I'm like,
that's kind of a delightful premise.
That's really cute. That idea. And it was a great concept. David Bradley was in it.
No way.
Yes, he was. Doctor Who reference.
Wow.
He plays the second version.
Is this a British?
It is British.
Well.
That's probably why it was probably
better.
Let's
mark this down. Name that again for me.
Your Christmas or Mine. I'm adding it to the Prime.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, I was like, that's a good, like, more serious, more like movie, mm-hmm. not Hallmark, but also still like Christmas fun.
Yeah.
And here's the thing in that. You recognize David Bradley. How many other Doctor Who actors would I recognize?
Breezed on by.
Probably
a lot.
There was many British actors in it who probably were in it. Because the one family is like a little less wealthy and they're living in a smaller community and the other is wealthy and they live in like a castle the rich white people I'm like, I definitely recognize them all and I can't tell you what their names are, but
oh boy, okay, well
obviously,
sorry, we have our next movie to watch.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if it's good for a bingo card if it's got Doctor Who actors.
That's my own bingo card.
And
right
he plays much like he often does David Bradley is grumpy and surly.
He's kind of rolled into that.
He does it well.
He does it well.
Yes, and I'm not going to spoil anything more about that but it's like it's as much a family drama as it is Christmas story, and it also has the romance in a good way, and it's kind of like lighter. It's not too heavy, but you know, by the end you're like, aw.
I'm a Doctor Who fan, listener to the Smooch. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Like, maybe some of you don't know.
Yeah.
Since I don't think I've been on the show before.
I love Doctor Who. And I only watch TV just about Doctor Who actors.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was fun. Mm. Any other ones that you want to shout out?
I'm just excited to watch Spirited when Steven's at work and also rewatch A Plan for Christmas while Steven's at work because I don't need to make him watch it again.
You should watch it the same night you watch Return of Dr. Mysterio, just to point out the similar tropes.
I could absolutely do that. Because
they're there. Mm-hmm. I thought that the female lead in that movie looks not entirely unlike Billie Piper. I think I pointed it out.
She does look like Billie Piper.
She looks a bit like Billie Piper. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although Billie Piper, not in Return of
not
Dr.
in
Mysterio.
Return of God, but she was in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yes. So, indeed. Tying it back. Asa Butterfield, is that his name? Asa Butterfield?
Yes. He was in, Connection.
Yeah.
He was in Sex Education.
As you said.
Mm-hmm. Aha.
And the co-star was Shuti Gatwa. Will be our new doctor.
Exactly.
So,
very exciting.
That gives you a second.
Exactly what I was going for. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I like see you, Steven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, also, The Return of Dr. Mysterio has Justin Chatwin, who is a Canadian actor. And most of these movies are made in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So another connection.
Maybe he's been in one. I wonder if he's been in
we
one.
We should look that
I
up.
I bet he has. He was also in Orphan Black.
Was he? Oh.
Who did he play in
Orphan
Black?
He played Allison's drug dealer.
Trying to remember the drug dealer. Yeah. Struggling to remember the drug dealer. Nope. It's not coming to me.
Mm. Yeah. You'll just have to rewatch it.
Mm-hmm. Obviously. Yes. It's the only solution.
There was one that I'm we made a list because we figured we'd have a
list. Oh, we have a couple we didn't get to.
So we didn't watch Christmas in Wolf Creek, which is the one with Tim Rose on. Mm-hmm. I also put A Big Fat Family Christmas on it, which is loaded with quite a lot of actors. The one that I remember off the top of my head is Tia Carrere. She really loved.
Yuji So, who was also the Doctor Who TV movie from 1996 with Paul McGann.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So, and that one is like...
I knew that because he tweeted about it. So,
and it's an Asian family Christmas.
Oh, cool.
And
I don't know where that is. I looked for that and I couldn't find it here
in
Canada.
It is on Crave.
It is on Crave. Okay,
yes.
Interesting.
It is on Crave.
Okay, good.
And then we also, Erica had noticed there's a Pride and Prejudice and Mistletoe. There is a whole bunch.
Yeah, that one's on the Super Channel that I am on a free subscription of now for the next 30 days.
And
well,
there's
29.
Quite a few different versions that like spin off of Jane Austen.
And I will watch them all.
I'll watch every
I will watch every horrible one of them.
Yep. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care if they might
be all
terrible.
I recently bought a book that's like Pride and Prejudice set in like a ranch somewhere.
Yeah.
Like in the south of the like U.S. Like, it's like out. I think it's the Civil War. I have no idea. But I saw Pride and Prejudice and was like, yep, you're coming home with me.
Yeah, I'm such a sucker for it. I love especially mystery novels that are either Jane Austen characters or right. Jane Austen herself. Mm. There is a series where Jane Austen solves crime. And I love it. I'll watch it. I'll read it all. And it might not all be good. Some of it is good. Mm. Some of it is terrible. Some of it is middling. But I'm going to watch it all. So I know last year there was a Pride and Prejudice, A Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah, we watched one together. And you guys complained the entire time because they had...
Who? Us? No.
Because they had switched some of the character traits of the main
characters.
That's
right.
They switched the names of the Sense and Sensibility sisters and got the entire plot lines backwards.
We were irate.
That was very that
constantly,
was very
and it was delightful to watch them watching that movie.
Just being completely aghast.
Don't watch it, but also watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even care. Like sometimes if they don't have chemistry, it can still work anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's like sometimes you don't need the chemistry, but it's always better if they have chemistry.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Well, any final thoughts?
I just want to say another thank you to Kirsten for hosting us.
Aww.
And to
You're
both
very
of you
welcome.
For doing like, you know, baking and actual work. Steven and I showed up with some soda pop and some prepackaged snacks.
And vegetables. Some
and vegetables.
Of which, some of which got eaten.
It's
true. Yeah. We had
definitely
vegetables. Had a carrot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really fun. We've been doing this for a few years now with a short hiatus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's fun. I'm sure we will keep doing it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you all for coming, especially Steven on his first ever Agents of Spooch
well,
episode.
Hey-o.
Agent Shapansky.
Thank you very much.
I think that was
One
entertaining.
Of us. Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll wrap it here and come back to you in the new year with more non-Christmas episodes. But if you are, tweet at us, tell us about what you're watching, because we want to know what's good, what is bad good, and what is just bad bad. And we will see you in the new year. Until then, stay safe, agents.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Agents of Smooch is part of the Incomparable Network. If you are enjoying our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the Smooch Agency, you can become a member of the Incomparable at theincomparable.com/members. Members can choose to support us and any other shows on the network, and you get extra perks like hanging out in the members-only Slack channel and bonus content such as our growing list of incomprehensible Agents of Smooch tipsy commentaries. Thank you for listening. Your next mission will be coming to you soon.